going to be a little bit different today because we're going to be sharing about praise, power released after I start expecting. And so we saw that as we believed last week, and power was released on Friday. And so I just feel like it's really important that we praise the Lord. After we've prayed and interceded on something, we need to spend time praising him for what he's done. And so that's what this service is going to be about. It's going to be about praise. And you're going to hear different people share and testify of things that they saw or that things that happened when they were praying for people or talking. But first, we're going to start with a scripture that I felt like it was just kind of one of those revelation moments. It was very powerful. And I just hope you... I just hope you can grasp. If you have your Bibles, you want to open up to Ezra 3, and not many people speak from Ezra. I was trying to remember the last time I ever heard of a pastor speaking from Ezra, and I couldn't remember it. And this is a setting where Ezra is a prophet, and he is coming to see the temple that is being built. And this is when they had been taken captive. Babylon had taken them captive. It's 50 years after the fall of the original temple in Jerusalem that Solomon had built. So how many people know if it's been 50 years, you're going to have people in this group that actually saw the old temple, okay? And so they've taken the remnant of captives back to Jerusalem, and they're beginning to rebuild the temple. Amen? And in verse 8 it says, "Now in the second month of the second year of their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, Jeshua the son of Jozadak, and the rest of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all who had come out of captivity to Jerusalem, began work and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and above to oversee the work of the house of the Lord. Then Jeshua with his sons and brothers, Kadmiel and his sons, and the sons of Judah arose as one," say one, "to oversee those working on the house of God, the sons of Henadad with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood up in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites and the sons of Asaph with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of King David of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to God, saying, 'For he is good, and his mercy endures forever toward Israel.' Then all the people," someone say all. "All the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid." So there is rejoicing going on because the house of the Lord, the foundation has been laid. Have we seen the temple yet? No, it's just the foundation. What is the foundation? The bottom. It's the very beginning of a structure. Amen? Now listen to this. "But many of the priests and the Levites and the heads of the fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this temple was laid before their eyes. Yet many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shouts of joy from the noise of weeping of the people. For the people shouted with such a loud shout, and it was heard, the sound was heard afar off." Now you may be sitting there going, "Why are people crying? Why are people weeping?" And I'm going to tell you. This is the group who had seen the glory days of the temple. They had seen with their own eyes the temple of Solomon. When you read through scripture and you hear of what Solomon built, it was beyond imagination. It was so spectacular on the outside. Are you listening to me? It was glorious, but Jesus didn't come during the time of Solomon. Are you listening? The foundation was laid with rejoicing because there was praise going on, because power is released after I start expecting. They were in expectation, listen, church family, of what was to come. What was to come? The Messiah. The temple that Jesus came back to was this one. So what does this mean for us now? It means God is doing a new thing in the earth. And just as the young people here were rejoicing at the foundation that was being laid, there is rejoicing in the young people across the world because of the foundation that God is beginning to lay in this generation. And they are praising Him for the foundation. But we, as those who have seen the things in the past, need to be careful. Listen. We need to be careful that our eyes aren't back here and we're missing out on what God is beginning to do. We don't want to let the past, you know, you'll hear people say, oh, I just wish we could go back to those good old days when this happened in church and this happened in church. That was great for that season, but the Lord says, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. What does that mean? That means that the good old days are not going to be as good as the days to come. So we want to rejoice as the foundation is being laid. Amen? This is so vital for us. Why? Why do we need to rejoice with what God is doing in the young people? You may be sitting there going, well, I want to be a young people. Well, guess what? We are all children. Listen, children. Not adults of the Lord, but we are children of the Lord, right? So we are a young people in God's eyes. It's all about how we see and perceive things, right? If God is pouring out His flesh, we need to go, I'm a child. I'm a child. I'm going to stand right next to this 15-year-old, and I'm going to receive from you, because in your eyes, I'm them. I'm your kids. Amen? And as God is pouring out His Spirit, we have to not lessen or degrade what God is doing because it looks different than what the temple looked like before. Why? Because guess what, church family? This foundation that's being laid, this is the foundation that Jesus is coming back to. This is the foundation. This is the temple's that Jesus is coming back to. Because that's what their expectation is. It's praise. Power is released. Yes, it may not be in churches. I had one of the dads say, why don't you guys do this in a church? This would be so awesome. I said, because that's not the heart that Luke had. Isn't to be in a church. It's to be outside the church. If you look all across the United States, do you know where Jesus is showing up? On college campuses, in common areas. I don't know how many schools, public institutions that I've seen mass gatherings of worship. Ohio State has had just this incredible revival going on, and there's thousands of kids, and they're not being led by a pastor, they're being led by football players. That God did something in their heart and they want to share with someone else. Well, that foundation doesn't look like what I saw in the past. What I saw in the past was this and this and this, and this is how God worked in the past. I don't know about this. Be real careful, because their praise is going to overwhelm your weeping, and their praise is going to usher in the kingdom of God. And I believe when you are weeping for what was, you will miss out on what God has. Amen? So we're going to look at some of these things today, and I just want the excitement of what God is beginning to do in the youth of our nation to touch your hearts. Amen?
My heart moving into this night, and I hadn't really thought of it in the words that I used until I was praying with our speakers group. I had specific prayers. One was with my speakers, one was with the worship team, and then a bunch of people came over and prayed for me before the night. And the first thing that I said with the speakers was that we are going to enable God to move unrestricted. And after I said it, I was like, I hadn't thought of it that way. And there's so many churches today that are praying for revival, praying for God to move, but they're restricting Him. So my heart for this entire worship night that I said at the beginning is that you guys are going to see things, hear things from God, and you're going to witness to other people what happens when God moves in an unrestricted way. So did you want me to pray for this, or what do you want me to do? I don't know. Okay, so I'm going to share a couple testimonies. I'm going off of what she said. So the first one would probably be my own, because of, like, we've been in church when we had the thing where we were talking about children or kids, young adults now, that were on the brink of committing suicide. And I just had that heaviness again all of Friday. And it was just a heaviness of, like, well, what if nobody comes up? And I was like, well, good if nobody comes up. Because then, but yeah. But then I was like, well, what if I just say, like, well, you're free from this. You don't need to come up and you don't need to have a point of contact. Or what if God just doesn't lead me to do this? But I just felt, it's almost been like a burden, but it's not like a heavy burden, like the burden of sin. It was like a burden, like, you're carrying this for these people. Like, these people need to hear this from you. It needs to be called out. And I was almost in a state of, like, fear about it until, as soon as I got up there, I looked and this girl stepped out from behind someone and she had a shirt on that said, Gen Z will be suicide free. It was like, well, no duh. Because I was like, it was almost like a Gideon moment. Where it's like, Lord, you've shown me time and time and time again. But he showed me one more sign. And there were five of them. And I made sure to tell them, this is not like just suicidal thoughts. This is within the next week at maximum. Could be tonight that you were thinking about doing this. And there were five people that came up. Because this is what happens when not only is all doubt removed, but there was nothing in that room but faith. And I felt it. I was in the hallways. And then as soon as I opened the door to go into the gym, the kids weren't even there yet. I just felt the Spirit come in. As soon as I opened that door. And I saw pastors. There were so many pastors there that were just walking back and forth, pacing, praying, taking authority over the devil over that entire night. There was nothing but peace. Nothing but faith and nothing but love in that room the entire night. There was absolutely no restrictions of God on this night. And we saw it all through. Another testimony was, a girl came up to me afterwards and she was like, I just want you to hear my story. There were two of them. There were actually two girls that I had prayed for to go into the office of, like, the ministry. And one of them was a foreign exchange student from Pakistan. And she said that she had been brought up in Islam. Her parents had excommunicated her when they heard that she had heard about Jesus. But the first thing she was like, but I don't feel bad. I don't feel burdened. I feel more free today than I have ever felt in my entire life. It was just, I was like, wow. And then the girl next to her, she said that when she was young, a couple years ago, like 5 years ago, within the span of 2 weeks, three of her best friends died. Two of them to suicide, and one of them in a drunk driving accident. She had been caught up in drug abuse, alcohol abuse. And then she said, like, I've tried so hard to get free. And I've been free for about a year now. But she said, I've had this burden. This entire time, I've had this burden. Then she said, when you laid hands on me, I just felt the power of God. It was so sweet. There was so much love in it. And then she told me she had never felt this free. She had never felt that free. And then she told me that she wanted so badly to be free. And I said, you already are. It's like, what happened today? what happened in every single point where I was praying for people. We had people getting slain in the spirit. I've never seen that before in my life. But God told me the night before, he's like, there will be people getting slain in the spirit. So I had to tell a couple of my speaker guys, get ready. Because I didn't say if, I said when. And we had, like, countless people. I would touch them and they would stagger back. And this is teenagers. Teenagers don't stagger back. Teenagers are going to be strong as long as they can. But when the power of God gets on them. Anyway, I think that's what I'm going to say for now.
Just hang on a sec, Luke. When I don't know if you knew about the girl that collapsed out in the hallway, but you may not even know this. We haven't had much time to talk since, but right as we were getting to the altar call, right? And how many know the devil is going to throw a tizzy fit? And a girl collapsed in the hallway. Dad was out there with her and the nurse and Miss Kay. So I'm standing at the side door kind of praying, and you're in the middle of people are about to get saved at this point. And the door starts rattling. Hey, don't let anybody come out this door because this girl has collapsed. The paramedics are on the way. And it's like, devil, you're not going to. And she trying to be okay. But it's like that whole distraction thing tried to come up right at the altar call. Right? And how many, I don't know how many people came up to get saved, but at least 10. I don't know, but there was salvations at that point, right at that point where the enemy was trying to throw be a distraction and shut the whole thing down at that point. But because of your prayers and the intercession and all that, the girl was okay. But that, I don't know if you may not even known that because we haven't really had much time to talk since then. But that was, and it was just a powerful night. And then right after that point is when all that other stuff began to flow. Suicides were canceled. And I mean, the devil was trying to shut it down, and he failed. Glory to God, right? So Lindsay, Lacey, Lane, you guys want to share something? Come on up. And I'll give it back to Shelley, of course. But what an awesome night. Yeah.
Yeah, that was phenomenal. Everything was so cool. I wanted to share, actually, when you said distractions, that was a huge, like, testimony for me. Because all that week long, I had just the most distracting thoughts. Like, I almost to the point of, like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, I just feel so, like, off. Like, I'm not in the spirit. But then time and time again throughout that entire week, God first used my mom, then Lacey. Then I still was kind of struggling with it. And so I was like, I'm just going to write verses. I can do this. I'm just going to write some verses, put it on my wall. Right when I was writing my verses down, a girl texted me that I had known in high school. And she's like, hey, I just wanted you to know that I've been praying for this event and I'm praying for you. I just broke down crying. I was like, God, you're just amazing. And then on Monday, we went to Nana and Papa's house to drop off groceries for them with Nana. And Nana just started talking to me about praying in the spirit. I'm sorry. I'm just so thankful for my grandparents because I started doing that. And that helped too. It was just like thing after thing. It was like God was telling me, you're not alone. Like just because you feel off doesn't mean you are. Like this is obviously a trick of the enemy. And he just kept confirming himself. And then my friend that texted me wanted to meet for coffee. And she literally poured into me when I was there talking to her. She actually works with the youth group. And she was just pouring in the word of God to me. And I was like, I feel so good. I feel refreshed. And now I feel ready. Oh my gosh, it was just phenomenal. And then the actual worship night happened. And actually right before that, we went to Nana and Papa's house again to do the sandwiches. And this was like the last like shebang for me to give me peace because we were there helping. And then I was like, oh, I haven't said hi to Auntie yet. And so I went to say hi to her. And she was just giggling and watching her movie. And I was just sitting with her for a minute. And it was almost like I felt Jesus just put his hand right here. And I don't know if you guys know this, but there's just so much power in Auntie Sherilyn and just being around her. But that was right before we left, and I had been feeling so nervous all day. And the peace of God just literally settled on me for the rest of the day. And then when the worship night happened, Sadie and Lane came up to me and they're like, Nana wants to pray, or we want to call Nana and have her pray with us. And so she was on the phone, talked to us and prayed for us. And it was just so peaceful. And then the worship night actually happened and I'm up on the stage and then the distracting thoughts tried to come back again. I was like, this is not the time. I just kept praising through it. But then all of a sudden the Lord brought back to me something that he had told me before when I was praying one morning is I've been praying the prayer like your kingdom come, your will be done. And I thought, well, what is his kingdom? It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And he told me it's almost like a force field around you. And the only thing that can get in, if you let it, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And he's like, that's your flow tonight. He was talking to me as I was worshiping. And I was like, okay, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It was all around me. And I just kept praising. And literally, I felt like it was growing more and more powerful. Like as I was seeing that and just ignoring, I literally just closed out everything else and just was praising. And again, the Holy Spirit was so strong. And then that one girl you were talking about with the like Gen Z will be suicide free. There was a point where Luke said, if there's anybody else that needs prayer, like please come up. And I was like, well, I want to go down and lay hands on people too. I didn't know if I was supposed to, but I was like, Lord, I want to be involved in this. And so, but I had originally felt like God was telling me, like, I'm going to touch you too. And I was like, well, Lord, I'm on the worship team. Like, I don't feel like I'm going to, like, I need to be there to help, not get touched. But then, so she comes up, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go pray for her. And so I was just about to lay my hands on her. And this was like about the time where other kids were literally staggering back because Luke was like, he was not pushing them. He was just touching them, and they would stagger. And I was like, well, I'm going to be here just in case she needs something. And so I was standing there, and Luke's praying and talking to her. And all of a sudden, all I could see was Jesus standing right by me. And Luke was praying for her, and he had his hand like this about to touch her. And then everything just was like gone. I was just standing there, and the Holy Spirit was so strong. I just started crying, and like just all I could say was, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then I saw Jesus's arm go to touch her. She goes all the way down, and my hands literally just hit the ground like that, and I just was on my knees. That's all I could remember. It was just like the power of God just swept through that whole like area, and I was like, whoa, like I told people afterwards, I was like, I just went to go help. I wasn't expecting God to just come and just touch me too. So it was just so many things, so much power and just the light in people's faces afterwards and before. It's just like, we're a community. Like we're all together in this. This isn't just me doing my part. This is all of us working together to do what God needs us to do and seeing the fruit of it. So it was just so amazing. So thank you for letting me share.
Okay, so this is up getting everything set up, and you'll notice Lane over there, or Luke, climbing up. I had to turn the other way on that one, but they're getting ready to hang a banner, and then we're just getting all the sound equipment up. Go ahead. This is really awesome. That's kind of that little piece over there is the doorway going into the school, and then this was us meeting with all the people that came to volunteer. We had amazing volunteers. We had really amazing volunteers from our church. So if you volunteered, can you stand up? Cece, Joni, Karen, Rose, Randy, Dad. Let's give these guys a big hand. Woo! Thank you so much for coming and being a part. It was awesome. And they weren't just volunteers. Like, the first time was great, but we had a lot of really, really happy volunteers this time. And when the kids came up the table, they were all smiling. I didn't have to tell them to do it. They were talking with the kids. It was just amazing. Even our security guards. Thank you, Randy. Thank you, Dad. They were great. So, yes, go ahead and go to the next one. And this is the bald guy in the middle is the campus pastor for Kingsway Church, Pastor Paris. And then you can see the rest of the worship team up there. Thank you. Isn't that awesome? Is there one more worship? Is there another worship? Okay, we'll go ahead and go to some more here. These are just different pictures of the kids throughout the night. And Ella, she's not here today, but Ella was one of our speakers that shared. She did an amazing job. This is just more times.
Could be so
pretty awesome. That was Lindsay, if you didn't recognize the voice. Let's go to the next one. And this is just more times of people sharing and praising. I loved all the different shirts. Thank you, Everly, for wearing yours. That's Everly in the middle. And you just, I mean, amazing. Cool part about that one was really awesome is Lindsay had shared about shouting, or was it Lindsay or Lane? Lindsay, okay. Had shared about during that song they would sing it again and they were shouting Jesus. And she said, when we get to those points, if it's something in your life that you need, whether it's your family or your body or whatever, shout Jesus. And so that's why they were shouting the name of Jesus, was over all those different things. It was awesome. This is more of the prayer time. And again, this is my favorite part, is the young people praying with the young people. It's just, every time I see it, I just am so moved. They didn't wait for an adult. They just literally gathered around each other and prayed with each other, which is so awesome to see. There's our volunteers. You don't get to see the volunteers, but they were all down. That's a freshman. Okay. They were literally all the way around the gym, the volunteers, the prayer team, the pastors, and a lot of them were just, like Luke said, they were just walking back and forth, praying over people and praying over the kids, and it was just amazing. Was awesome. It's just so cool just to see the power of God on these kids as they're worshiping. And that one was more of like an a cappella. They were all just their voices singing. I think that was right before the altar call. And Lane, do you want to come up and share about the guy from Washougal and anything else that the Lord puts on your heart?
All right. So one thing that jumped to me was last time we had a guy from Washougal who me and Luke knew. I don't know him very well, but Luke did. And their whole family are Mormons. And he did the altar call last time where they just raised their hands kind of with the crowd, which was cool. But this time Luke wanted them all to come forward, and he was the first one to the front. So it was like really jumped out to me. Him and the dude in the blue sweatshirt were both the first ones to, you know, cross the line and go up front. I thought that was really cool. And the blue guy was one of the guys that came forward for, you know, wanting to be prayed for over, like, the suicide stuff. So it was even cooler that he just came straight forward. There was no hesitation for either one of them. So that was something that really jumped out to me. Yeah. What else did you want me to, anything else? I didn't drop anybody. So that was nice. But, I mean, it was crazy. I mean, I wasn't fully expecting what happened. That one was the one that went clear to the ground. The other, it just, you could tell it was just so real. It wasn't them faking. It was so startling to them to get hit with it. I mean, they just were just staggering back to the point where, like, that girl just, she just stiffened up and went out. It was like, she was gone. It was crazy. But yeah, it was so real to me and everybody around it.
Did anybody else that was there volunteering? Joni, did you want to share? Are you okay coming up? Okay. You're representing. I think Cece wanted to share too, but go ahead.
Oh, good, Cece, so I'm not the only one. coming in as, I almost want to say as an observer, because definitely it was definitely a youth thing and youth-led and anointed, peaceful. I saw things in all of you that were incredible and touched my heart. So each one of you, I kind of have something to say, if I can share that. I know this has nothing to do with what you guys were explaining, but this is just from the outside. But I'll start with Luke. The anointing of God on you touched my heart so much, and the heart you have for those kids and all the youth. I know I'm going to call them kids, but just all the youth just was amazing. And how I noticed that you came around and wanted to make sure everyone was either touched or spoken to or addressed and felt included in everything. It was something I watched and I couldn't stop watching. Yeah. It was amazing. And then Lane's testimony. Oh my gosh. That all of it touched me really powerfully, but that was powerful because you showed a part of you that was intimate, and I think that also went off to all the youth because you can share something that intimate and powerful at the same time, and I think a lot of people identified with that. I loved it.
Yes.
Loved it, loved it. I'm going to get to you last. But Lacey, you are a scribe. You in that camera, you documented. This is something that's always going to be seen and remembered. Mm-hmm. And you can go back and go, do you remember March 13th of 2026? And we can see what happened. And really just you remember. And you go, oh, that I remember that. I remember that. And how that was just an incredible moment in this time. And then mi amiga, Lindsay, your voice always touches me. You just have a beautiful voice in the anointing on you, and how you really get into it. I love it. She gets into it, and I love that. I love that, and I know that touched so many hearts. But as a volunteer, an observer, it was amazing. I'm glad I came. I felt like I was part of the youth, you know? I loved it. Anyway.
You are, remember?
Yeah.
You're a child of God. There Forever you go. Young. Forever young. Cece, did you want to come up and share real quick? It's okay. Here.
I can't tell you. It's such a good job, you guys. I was beyond myself, and I know that the kids appreciated what you did, every single one of you, because they knew it was for them. They could tell. The adults kind of just stood back. We just watched, and you took over, and it was just perfect. It was perfect. It was perfect for them, because a lot of times they don't know what to do when they're seeking the Lord to be saved. They don't understand everything. Even I didn't when I did that. So it helped them to have the group and the power of the group. And then little groups of them would gather, and then they'd pray for one person. And so I was hoping that they would be able to have a time to tell you if someone got saved, because not everyone would want to have that shared with others and strangers, and there was people from everywhere. And on the way home, I stopped at Taco Bell. I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself. I had to. But listen, you guys, I forgot I changed purses, and I didn't have any money. Oh, whoa. And so I said, oh, no, don't hand that to me. I don't have any money. I forgot. I changed purses. I was just at Kingsway at a revival. And he just glowed. I don't know if he went to school there or something, possibly, but he said, I'm taking control of this matter, and I'm paying this for you.
Oh.
And he handed it back out to me.
Wow, that's awesome.
It was cool.
God bless
and
you.
And I'm still taking the money back.
Amen. Everly, did you want to come up and share anything? Yeah, come on up.
So it was, like, really cool to, like, see all the people, like, praying together. And, yeah. And I really liked how, like, we, like, a bunch of people, like, shared, like, the different stages of, like, Jesus's life.
Yes.
And then we, like, prayed about, like, a different thing every time. And I thought that was really cool.
That was
awesome.
Because
then we got to learn and had fun.
Yeah.
There. And so, yeah.
Very cool. Woo! Good job. Amen. Oh, Dad, do you want to share? Okay. I did ask him, but he said no first, so I'm not skipping over him or something.
Okay, it's a family trait. It's not for fear to be up here. Now I'm getting it back. For me, when I went, I saw two things. Kids' attitudes, their personality. The Bible has at least two examples of personalities and attitudes. One example is David. Mess with me, I will kill you. A boldness, a non-fearing, fearful spirit, to the point where he turns to others that should have the same spirit and say, don't you know, don't you realize? In essence, what is your problem? Why are you waiting for a kid to take charge and do this?
Yeah.
So, at the event, I'm sitting back. Probably left Randy alone too many times, but anyway, sneaking in and watching, and I saw that manifest in some of the speakers, some of the singers. You could tell that they had a David kind of perspective, David kind of attitude. They called things out. They spoke with authority.
Yeah.
They took charge,
yes.
Which for this old guy was awesome to see. Yeah. The other one is there's a person in the Bible who was hiding, saying stuff like, I'm the least, I'm not worthy, I can't do this. And then all of a sudden, a transformational point in his life took place. I also saw that on the stage. Timidity, fear, weakness, but as they spoke, mm-hmm. as they got up,
yes.
as they began to do what they knew they probably should do, and that's why they didn't want to go do it, is because I'm fearful of that. The more they spoke, the more they sang, the more they closed their eyes to worship and not be fearful of the faces that were out in front of them, the more you could just see the transformation. They
yes.
grew, they grew, they grew. They became more and more bold, probably not realizing that it's the Holy Spirit that's emboldening them.
Yeah.
But now they too have the experience that the spectrum goes from the Davids
to the Gideons.
To the Gideons that are hiding. Mm-hmm. I'm not qualified. But actually, in the grand scheme of what God can do, you are exactly
yes.
what I can do. Because if you do things the way I say, you do things in my strength,
yes.
my anointing, my power, with my wisdom, you can do this.
Yes.
It just takes the opportunity for that to happen.
Yes.
And they had that opportunity, and they did it.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Oh, just a scribe? Do you want to share anything?
That's
That's your share. She made the video. So again, she's scribing things. I had a chance to talk to multiple different volunteers and pastors. And one of the dads had been with us at the first event. And he came up to me afterwards and he goes, I thought the first one was amazing. But this, and he goes, how do you get better than amazing? How do you get better than great? It's like, how did we go to the next level? But we went to the next level tonight. And he's like, are you doing this again? And I said, yeah. And he goes, oh, I'm in. He said, I want to see what happens next. Just the excitement, you know. And we had another one of the volunteer moms that came up, and she was like, can I just thank you? I mean, she's the volunteer. I should be thanking her. And she's like, no. I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be a part of this tonight. And she said, we were here for the kids, she said, but I felt like we as adults also got ministered to. And she said, it was just so amazing to see what God was doing right in front of our eyes. So another amazing thing. And it was very cool, too, the guards, as they came to say goodbye, as we had hired security. Just, we don't know that area very well, and it's kind of industrial, and so we just to be safe. And so he came in, and he was like, man, this was, he goes, we keep trading in and out so we can come in and peek. And he's like, this was really an honor to be a part of this event tonight. And he's like, you know, thank you for letting us come and serve you. And again, I'm like, okay, well, you, I should be saying thank you to you because you served us. But it was just, that was kind of like the common thread was people were so blessed. And honestly, to be honest, a lot of the adults that walked out of the gym at the end all looked like they had tear stains, like they had just been as much touched as the kids had. And it was just a phenomenal night, just seeing the power of God. And you watched when they came in, and there were groups that were excited, and then there were groups that were quiet. But by the time they came out, they were all excited. You know, it was like you could just feel the excitement. And I've shared it with a couple people that it was so cool because we gave away Bibles if you didn't have a Bible. And I was blown away the first time because the first group that came at the last event was a group of boys. And this time, another group of boys. I was like, that just is not normal for boys to come to a table, first of all, and ask for something. That's a little more girl characteristic. I feel like there's more barriers for boys to do that. And they were high school boys, and we were getting things packed up, and they came up and they're like, oh, wait. We were in the front, and we were praying. Do you have any more Bibles? And we're like, oh, yeah. The girls that were helping, like, yeah, we've got blue and pink and brown. And this one kid goes, oh, you have pink? I don't think my girlfriend has a Bible. Can I have a pink one for her, but I'll take a brown one? And then the other kid behind him goes, well, you can just pull out two brown for me. My girlfriend's just going to get a brown one. She don't need no pink one. And it was adorable. But, you know, they were asking not just for themselves, but they wanted to pass on the blessing. And the third guy was like, well, I don't have a girlfriend, but can I have two, and I'll give one away? And we were like, yeah, sure. I mean, just how cool is that? That they not only for themselves, but they're wanting to, you know, pass on the word to someone else. And so it's just amazing to see what God is doing in the young people. And again, it's this new foundation. God is doing a new thing in the youth in our nation. And we want to be a part of that. And we are a part of that. I mean, your seeds, your prayers, I truly believe that those kids that went forward for suicide will never, ever face that wall again. Ever. Ever. You may say, well, you don't know. Oh, yes, I do know. I do know that when the power of God touches someone as mightily as he touched those kids in that front of that room on Friday night, it will never be reversed. Ever. I believe we won't even know the extent of the testimonies until we get to heaven. But you know what? There was an event like that where Billy Graham was in a huge group of people. He didn't want to be there. He got in trouble and was made to come. Then he went and he thought, well, I'll mess around and we'll disrupt the service. Got into the service and fell underneath the power of God. And look what happened to him. We don't know who the next Billy Graham is. Or the next, you know, whatever female speaker is going to be that's going to rock this nation. And they could have been there on Friday night, and God touched them. You know, or the young girl from Pakistan? The Pakistan. I mean, we don't know. What if the Lord sends her home and this sets revival in Pakistan? And we played a part by making it possible for this event to happen. So thank you guys for your finances. Thank you for your prayers. It's making a difference in the lives of young people. As we shared before, there are people all over that are hearing about Dare to Believe, and it's growing in people's understanding that it's there. Amen? And so God is moving. Did you have anything else you wanted to share? Oh, Luke, go ahead. No, you're okay.
Sorry. I've been going through a lot of older type things, just like thinking back to different religious outbreaks, different revivals and stuff that have happened. And then I looked at the first one that we did in Washougal and compared it to this one that we just had. And the first one was powerful because the love of God came. Mm-hmm. And the kids were available to the love of God. And I really feel like, I don't know if it's John 15 or Luke 15 where he says, abide in me. I think that's John.
It's John.
Okay. So John 15, you guys might have to bear with me for a couple seconds, but he speaks of abide in me and I in you. And after he speaks about that, after saying abide in my love, which is what happened in the first one, he then goes on to speak about I am the vine, you are the branches. Or,
yeah,
I am the vine, yeah. Either way, but something about a tree, okay? But the thing that I heard, I think I was at like a Young Life small group or something, but it was actually one of my middle school teachers was telling us that when you are in a garden, he had an apple tree that never produced apples. And he was like, don't know what it is. So I finally called someone and said, can somebody like check up on my apple tree? I want some apples here. And the guy came and he said, oh, it's got to be pruned. He's like, what does prune mean? So he goes over and he literally almost takes the entire amount of the tree off, cuts it back to where it's bare. And he was like, he just broke my tree. Now it's just a little stub out of the ground. And then over time, branches grew back. And over time, the fruit was visible. I believe what happened at this night was that kids opened their hearts to be pruned. Because there were some things that was like old-time revivals. Like, I saw some things that I've watched Billy Graham say. I was saying things that reminded me of Jesse Duplantis, like the boldness. Because there were so many times where God was saying, Luke, one more. There is one more person here. Wait. So I would say, I was like, what if it's like 15 minutes and we're just standing here? But I was like, I had to speak with boldness because it's like, there might be one more out here. We're going to wait, sing one more song. But no, it was, you need to come. There is one more person out here that needs this. It's either tonight or it's never. You need to come now. And it was that boldness. And there was one that Torin, our guy that was speaking on the resurrection, he started calling out different religions. Close religions, the ones that people are like, oh, I identify as Christian. He called that Mormonism. And there were a lot of Mormons there. And there was like, I don't want to be, I'm like, praise him. Like, but anyway, but it was just that kind of thing. He was calling out different kinds of sin. There were different kinds of addictions that were called out, hard things that kids like to hide away. But they were being pruned. They were getting it taken. They were cutting that off, casting it into the fire. And I believe that is why we saw such a good response at the end. That is where we saw the fruit. We began to see the fruit in these kids' lives. And comparing it to the old revivals, this night looks so much more like what we've seen in the past. I know it's not the exact same, but God works differently. And I've seen it so many times that God uses the groups that people have rejected. That, like, traditionally, people have rejected, like with the hippie movement in the 70s. Nobody wanted any part of them. And we're right next to Portland right now. The world doesn't want any part of this area. It's been a while since, like, we've had, like, presidents, like, distinguished visitors come over here because they want to, like, come to the cleaner cities and stuff like that. We're right next to Portland in the Great Northwest, and we are using young people And people have been saying so many times, like, well, Gen Z's got the highest rate of suicides. Five of them, not suicides anymore. Because they were willing to get their hearts pruned. They were willing to let God pull things out. And it's like almost like when there's a thorn being removed. It hurts, but it has to be done. Or else it's just going to stay in your hand and it's just going to keep hurting. And it's going to get worse, could get infected and all that kind of stuff. It needs to be removed. And I believe that's what we saw at the last night, because there were kids that were finally responding. And there might have not been as many salvations. I'm not going off that. If there was one person, I would have been beside myself. And we had like 20 or something like that. 25. That's 25 people that were going to hell, now going to heaven. And then we had so many kids getting slain of the Spirit. I don't remember how many, like what the numbers were for that. But yeah, we got 3 called into ministry, 5 delivered from suicide, and 25 plus student salvations. That is a hallelujah.
Yes.
25%
of the people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes. Amen.
It was a good life. Okay, anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, amen. We'll close up here. But yeah, Luke, that was John 15. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. That's beautiful. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, we will. Okay. We will. Yep. And then Lane's emphasis on the love of God, he shared 1 John 4, I think it was, with the kids, and just encouraged them that your Heavenly Father loves you, and just, it was just such a magnificent time. And each person that shared, it reminded me, I was sharing with Joni, we were both a part of Bloodbot back in the day at New Beginnings, where Pastor Huck would go through each place Jesus shed his blood. And that's exactly what each speaker was doing, starting in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he sweat drops of blood, and the whipping post, and the crowns, and the nails. And it was just powerful to hear the gospel in its raw form. And these kids were just captivated for 3 hours. They didn't hardly move, right? Worshiping, you saw them jumping around and worshiping God, but they were just literally, we all were, just captivated and caught up in the Spirit for that time. And just the spirit of unity that was in that place. How many different churches? Five different churches working together on the worship. There we go. 5 youth ministries representative. 9 churches working together. This is a new era in targeting one goal, right? And 100 plus the fruit there. 100 plus students in attendance. And so just the unity, and doesn't the word say something about where the unity of is? That's where the Lord comes, and the oil and the anointing. And so we saw that, and we're seeing it. But just as we close, we're going to receive our tithes and offerings today. But I think what Cece said, one of the things that she said, really sums up this whole thing. And she said the term, beyond me. Right? And that's exactly what you saw, that term that Cece said when she was up here testifying, beyond me. I think that's totally what all these kids, because I don't know about you, but when I was in junior high, high school, all I thought about was me. And when you think about, and I, to this day, I have issues trying not to think about me so much, right? But that's what you saw with all you guys and all the kids that testified and the volunteers, was we were doing something beyond ourselves, and we saw God step in and do supernatural stuff, right? So I just think it's just a challenge to all of us to continue living in that beyond me mindset. Church is beyond me. You were sharing the same thing about the uneasy, almost fear feeling. I was experiencing that driving that truck, right? When we had the truck full of all the gear, and I'm thinking, man, Jesus, it's Ramadan. We got a bunch of kids gathering to worship, and there's crazy stuff going on in the world, and I don't know exactly what we're about to do. And it's just like, but yet you're like, yes, this is right. We are taking a step of faith, right? And then afterwards, I don't remember, I don't know about you guys that were there, but when you drove home, do you remember that much rain on a drive home in recent history? And rain is a sign that, and I remember the first one. You were talking about the difference of how things felt and even the testimony of the gentleman about, man, the first one. But this one, the first one, I remember the day after, and there was this like mist almost all, like it was just a weird like mist all day long, and there was no forecast of it. And it was just like God saying, I approve of that message. And yesterday afterwards, pouring rain. Just like God saying, I approve of that message in everything that happened tonight. Because I don't know about you, but I don't remember. I mean, I've driven through a downpour before, and it lasts for about 45 seconds. But the entire way home, I mean, we were outloading, and literally our shoes are filling with water. And I mean, I know it had been raining, but not like that. For that, just somebody say, beyond me. What we're doing is beyond us, and what you guys did was beyond you, thinking about other kids and reaching out. And let's just stay in that flow with God, right? And allow him to prune us and just watch what he's going to do. Amen. Let's pray over our giving today. And that was a great offering message, wasn't it, today? But that's what it is. We're offering up our lives to Jesus. Right? So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for these words, for this amazing vision, for Dare to Believe. And, Father, we ask you to bless these tithes and offerings today. Build your house, build your temple, build your kingdom. Continue to say, we thank you, God, for every salvation, for every kid that came, for every volunteer that came, for every church and ministry that was represented, for Kingsway School. Paris told me this also, the campus pastor. He said, you know, Steve, I presented this to the superintendent and the principal, and all they said was, is it gonna point kids to Jesus? And he said, well, of course. And they said, then do it. Glory to God for administrators, even in Christian schools, that actually think that way. We praise you, Jesus. For open doors and open windows, and we literally saw the floodgates of heaven open in more ways than one. And we rejoice in it, Jesus, for helping us to get beyond ourselves. We dared to believe, and we stepped out, and we're seeing the amazing fruit of this. And we give you the praise. As we give today, Lord, we remember it's all about you, building your house on this earth. Build your temple, Jesus, and help us to stay young. Somebody say, stay young. With faith as a child, believing in our Heavenly Father who takes us way beyond ourselves to reach many, many, many souls. Just think about these kids, of all the other things that they could have been doing on a Friday night. Like Lindsay was talking about, all the distractions of life, all the things the devil is trying to throw at this generation to distract them, and yet they were there, and they were glued and captivated by the message. Oh, we praise you, Jesus, and we thank you, God. Bless our tithes and offerings, Lord. We thank you, God, for using it to build your house, build your kingdom, reach many, many, many lives for Jesus. And we receive your blessing, Father, in every area of our lives. We receive debt cancellation. We receive the blessing of God manifesting financially, spiritually, physically, in salvations, in our own families and friends. Hallelujah. The right vehicles, the right homes, the right buildings and ministries, the right people in this place, Father. We speak your blessing over every part of our lives, God, as we sow today. In Jesus' name, In Jesus' name, amen.